to be all connected. And I think a gospel preacher can preach the rest of his life and never cover all the subjects that Jesus does in that section. Not only some very exciting stories, but some very applicable teaching. Tonight our lesson is going to come from John chapter 8. Most of our verses, in fact all of the verses you'll need to look at, are in John chapter 8. Now this is the chapter that describes the feeding of the 5,000. But not only is this an interesting and an exciting and assuring story, but also the teaching here is just amazing. Now let's note a few things before we get to our text. Notice first of all that the multitude at the beginning of this story was following Jesus because of his miracles. Look at verse 2. And a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. So at first, this multitude, the same multitude we'll be discussing throughout, is following Jesus because of his miracles. Now moving on. At a certain point, Jesus asked one of the disciples, Philip, how much money would it take to buy dinner for all of these people? And Philip calculated and he determined, from what I understand, a half a year's wages. King James says, when shall we buy bread for these to eat? Verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. And then the miracle actually begins. Andrew, that's Peter's brother, finds a young lad that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, probably his lunch, brings that to Jesus, and with that small amount of food, Jesus feeds everyone, even to the point that there was leftovers. Now we're down to verse 14. When the multitude saw the miracle, what miracle? The feeding of the 5,000. With 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When they saw that miracle that Jesus did, they said, truly this is the prophet that should come into the world. When they saw that miracle, not the miracles the previous times, when they saw that miracle with the bread, they said, this is the prophet. But when Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him their king, he separated himself, he departed himself to the mountain all alone. So he fed the 5,000 plus, the 5,000 plus people with bread. And that's when he noticed that they were going to make him their king. That's when he noticed that they were not listening or watching the other miracles or the teaching with the feeding by the bread. They were going to make him king. That miracle, the bread, was something special. Now, after that encounter, the disciples got into a boat. They went to the other side. They went to Capernaum. Jesus is not with them. I'm assuming he's still in the mountain all by himself. During the night, Jesus comes walking on the water. They receive him into the boat. And now we're down to verse 22. The next day, all right, the day after he feeds them their dinner, the people began looking for Jesus again in that same area. And when he was not found, they also head toward Capernaum. So they must have patterned him very well. If he's not here, he's bound to be in Capernaum. And when they find him, they ask him why he left them. And this time, he says they were only interested in the physical bread that he had previously fed them, not the other miracles. They were only interested this time in the physical food that he provided. We're down to verse 26. You seek me not because you saw those miracles, the miracles he had been performing, but because you ate of the loaves, you ate the bread, and you were filled. And then using bread as his illustration, Jesus begins to teach the truth about genuine faith. Verse 27, you read as I paraphrase, the wording is a little bit confusing. Verse 27, Jesus says you're seeking physical food. You're seeking physical nourishment. He says, don't worry about that. That kind of food perishes. The physical food will perish. But the food that you need to be looking for is food that will allow you to have everlasting life. And then in verse 31, they make a reference to the manna that God supplied the Israelites in the wilderness. God gave the Israelites bread or manna from heaven to eat. And in that context of bread and nourishment and manna, Jesus says, verse 35, I am the bread of life, not the manna that God gave the Israelites in the wilderness. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Those who believe on me shall never be hungry again. And those who believe on me, those who come to me shall never be hungry. Those who believe on me will never be thirsty. And also let me paraphrase verse 36. Then I'll read the King James. Jesus says, listen. Listen very closely to what I'm about to tell you. You have seen me. You have seen the miracles, but you still do not have faith in who I really am. The King James says, you have seen me, yet you do not believe. Now let's use that as our introduction. Let's begin by talking about the significance of this simple phrase, the bread of life. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the bread of life? What does bread signify? Well, bread is usually recognized as a universal commodity. There is not a culture, I suppose, that has ever been on the earth that did not have some kind of bread as their staple of life. And Jesus says, I am the staple of life. I am that universal commodity. Talking spiritually, of course, I am the bread of life. Now, in grammar, this is what is called an exclusive claim. Not only is Jesus saying, I am among others who are the bread of life, he is saying exclusively, he is the bread of life. Elsewhere, he said other things like, I am the door. He is the only door. I am the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. All of these are exclusive claims. So Jesus here is making an exclusive claim. He is the nourishment that God gives to the world. My favorite passage is another exclusive claim. He is the truth, the only truth. He is the way, the only way. He is life. John the Baptist also made an exclusive claim for Jesus. He said, behold the Lamb of God, not one of the lambs of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Apostle Peter made an exclusive claim for Jesus when he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul gives a series of exclusive claims to the Ephesians. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in us all. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he is saying there is no one else that can give the spiritual nutrition that I can give. He alone is the bread of life. Now also from John 6, we have some more exclusive claims. He is the one who gives nourishment that leads to eternal life. He is the one who God has sent. He is the one upon whom we must believe. They mention the manna that God gave in the wilderness. Jesus says, I'm the one now that has come from heaven. He's the only one that can satisfy spiritual hunger. He is the one, the only one that can secure our eternal salvation. Now, let's note something else. The people made reference to manna. According to Jewish history, there has been a long-standing tradition among the Jews, I suppose even to this day, that when the Messiah comes, they deny that it was Jesus, they're still looking for the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, the sign that he's going to bring, the sign that he is the Messiah, is that manna from heaven will fall again. He will bring this manna from heaven. No doubt that's why they said something about the manna. No doubt that's why they believed this must be the prophet, because he's supplying us with this bread. So the people thought that the bread that Jesus was talking about, possibly, probably, I don't know, was this manna. But Jesus was not going to go to the cross to fill their empty tummies. He was going to go to the cross to save their soul. And I would rather go hungry of physical food than go malnourished from spiritual food. He died so that we might be saved. Look at verse 32. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus, Moses did not give you the manna. He did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Again, an exclusive claim. He is the true bread from heaven. Now, I admit those of us in the Christian dispensation or the New Testament dispensation probably don't realize how important the concept of manna was to the Jews. To the Jews, this manna represented the ultimate physical blessing. It was a promise that God was going to send to them, the same kind of promise he gave in the wilderness concerning the physical entrance to Canaan. This was the physical kingdom that they were all looking to have. But manna was not the true sustenance from God. It was for their physical existence. Jesus is saying that kind of food perishes. That kind of food is temporary. You eat something today, you're going to want to eat something tomorrow. Well, not with him. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. We're going to constantly be feeding on Christ. But they could meet their physical need with manna. Now they can only meet their spiritual need through Jesus Christ. However, have you ever noticed there's always a however in these wonderful stories? However, then the people showed their true colors. They murmur because Jesus wants to teach them instead of feed them. They saw the miracles. He gave them their dinner. Now they don't want teaching. They don't want miracles. They want to be fed again. And look at verse 60. What Jesus teaches them, even his disciples said, this is a hard saying. And brethren, just on the surface, if you were reading that section for the first time, you would agree. That's a very hard thing for us to understand. We understand because we've seen the whole story. But even his disciples said, this is a hard saying. Now, let's make several points of application from this story. First of all, we need to follow Jesus just as much as that multitude followed Jesus. They were relying on him for their teaching. They were relying on him for the miracles. They were relying on him for the food that he was giving. So just like they followed, we need to follow. But we need to make sure that we're following for the right reasons. Just like a sheep follows its shepherd, we need to follow Jesus. He is our good shepherd, but we need to make sure we're following for the right reasons. Brethren, Christianity is not all about me. It's not all about you. It's not what can Christianity do for me. What we're going to get out of Christianity is salvation. That's what we're going to get out of it. Christianity is all about what does God want me to do? It's all about God. What does God want of me? Now, we follow Jesus not for miracles, not for miraculous feeding, not for miraculous healing, not even for the blessings that he gives, and he brings us so many blessings. We follow Jesus because he alone has the words of eternal life. So this is a hard saying. We get down to verse 68, and we read that many of that multitude went back and walked no more with Jesus. He was teaching them things that were difficult. He was not feeding them as often, at least, as they wanted. Many went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus asks a question of Peter and the other apostles that he's also asking us today. When things get hard, when things get difficult, when it doesn't seem that we can catch a break, are we going to blame God? Are we going to blame Jesus? Are we going to turn our back on him? That's really what some of these people did. Jesus then turned to us as his disciples saying, will you also go away? And Peter spoke for all of us. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. Jesus came not to give physical anything, though we receive so many physical blessings. He came to save our souls. And not only that, he came to give us the commission to help him save souls as well. And that has to be our constant charge. I hope you enjoyed this study. I certainly enjoyed preparing it. It did not mention what we need to do in order to become a Christian, but probably you know already. So if for any reason anyone needs to respond, won't you come as we stand together and as Ken leads this song?